Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, we're reminded of the wonderful relationship that we have with our Savior Jesus. Even when things are tough, we know his sheep experience his care and we follow him. May God bless our time in his word today. We begin, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We respond by saying, "Jesus, we have gathered as your lambs. Thank you for your security surrounding us. Nourish us today so that when we leave in a little while, we might not go astray." Amen. We turn to the Lord and confess our sins. Jesus, as our good shepherd, you know each one of us by name. You call, but we often do not listen to your voice. Instead, we listen to our own voice or the voices of temptation. So listen to us as we confess our sins and snatch us back from Satan and our sinful flesh. We pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have sinned against you with my thoughts, words, and actions, and I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and I pray, forgive me. Forgive me for your mercy's sake. Friends, Jesus grants us full pardon for all of our sins, and he commissions us to go forth as a blessing to all people. May his Spirit abide in each and every one of us and give us new freedom and power to live for the Good Shepherd. Amen. And we collect our thoughts in prayer. O Lord, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our lessons for today. Our Old Testament lesson is from 1 Samuel. We hear how David, a good shepherd, knew what he spoke of when he extolled the comfort of the shepherd's rod and staff in Psalm 23. We'll read from 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been taking care of your father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and I struck it and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. When the lion reared up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, struck it, and killed it. Your servant struck both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defiled the ranks of the living God." And David added, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go then. May the Lord be with you." This is God's word. And we hear a reading from the epistles, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we hear how Peter identifies Jesus with that of a shepherd. We begin reading at verse 19 of chapter 2. Peter says, "For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. Jesus made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." This is God's word. And our final reading comes from the Gospel, John chapter 10. A full life is a life full of love, and a life that's not just filled with love, but a life that shows love. We begin reading, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. And therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the gospel of our Lord. Okay, we turn now then to our message for today. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6. The selected verses from 6, and then we'll go to chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. Dear friends, sooner or later, it happens to us all, where our world gets shaken by things we hear, things we see, the things that happen to us. A child gets in trouble. Our world is shaken. Soon-to-be grandparents get a call from their son, their daughter-in-law, suffered a miscarriage. And dad puts down the phone and can't even look at mom because they know they'll burst into tears. Their world is shaken. Assisted living is the only option, and your world is shaken. An unannounced health concern, an unforeseen bill, and the list could go on and on. Sooner or later, our lives are shaken. So how do we react when that takes place in our lives? We need to do what a Christian named Stephen did. You look up to heaven, and you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that'll be our theme today. When life shakes you up, you look up. You look up to heaven and you see Jesus at the right hand of God. First of all, let's begin with Stephen's story. We begin looking at Acts chapter 6. It says, Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. To understand Stephen, all you need to know is that he was a man full of God's grace and power. In other words, he was full of the gospel. He was full of God's love and the power to love. But just like the Savior, Stephen so faithfully followed, sharing that love that Jesus had for him, meant trouble for Stephen, with the same group of men that had made trouble for Jesus. Our text continues, opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicily and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom Stephen spoke. Eventually, Stephen's life mirrored his Savior's life even more. Not only was he a man full of grace and love and followed and shared that love, he was brought before the Sanhedrin, the same group that Jesus had been brought against. And these men were bribed to lie against him and accused him of blasphemy against Moses and God. When the high priest Caiaphas asked Stephen if the charges were true, that he opened the door for Stephen then to launch an all-out attack. Our text continues, "You stiff-necked people," Stephen said, "with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law and that was put into effect through the angels, but you have not obeyed it." A missionary in Persia found a great ruby that belonged in the emperor's crown. And for 3 days, an official crier went out throughout the land proclaiming that if anyone found that ruby, they needed to return it. And they needed to return it within 30 days. Or, if they returned it after 30 days, they would have their head cut off. The missionary returned that ruby that he found to the emperor on the 31st day. When the emperor asked the missionary if he had heard that crier's proclamation about returning it in 30 days, and if returned afterwards, the person would have their head cut off, the missionary answered, "Yeah. Yes, Your Majesty, I did," he said. Well, the emperor asked, "Why? Why did you not return it sooner?" The missionary said, "I waited until now so that you would not be able to say, 'I fear you.' I returned it because I love God." And then the emperor said, "Okay, blessed be your God." And he let the missionary go. I wish I could tell you that's the way it ended for Stephen. I wish I could tell you that Caiaphas let Stephen go. I wish I could tell you that Stephen went home to his family and lived and boldly confessed Jesus for another day. I wish I could tell you that all of that happened, but I can't because it did not. Like wild animals, they attacked Stephen. Our lesson goes on. When they heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," Stephen said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at Stephen, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Instead of working repentance, God's word that Stephen spoke worked hate. These haters of Christ took their hate out on Stephen. They dragged him out of the city. They launched their own attack of stones. Stone after stone found its mark. It was a brutal, violent scene that did not end well for Stephen, and it shook the whole Christian church to its core. Yet even in death, Stephen was not the victim. He was the victor. That's right. Stephen was not the victim, but the victor. Our text closes. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen fell asleep outside the city of Jerusalem, and he woke up in the New Jerusalem, the city of heaven, where he was welcomed by Jesus with a smiling face and open arms. That was Stephen's story. Now our story. I know that our difficulties have not been that we've been dragged out of a town and stoned to death. But at the same time, our difficulties are our difficulties. And they are big when there are difficulties. Life has a way of shaking us up. And when it does, we can employ some of the same strategies that Stephen did. First of all, remember how you are living. Stephen lived full of God's grace. That means he lived a life of love in a world of hate, and he let his light shine in a world of darkness. Consider this question: how does sinful mankind come to God? Here's how Jesus would answer that question. Sinful mankind comes to God, Jesus would say, over my dead body. Now that answer shakes us up because it reveals just how much our sin costs Jesus. But it also reveals just how much Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he gave up his body. And that's the same love that Jesus puts in our hearts. Love-filled hearts live for Jesus. Like Stephen, we live a life of love in a world of hate, and we let the light of Christ shine in a world of darkness. Yet by living that way, we sometimes become easy targets. So secondly, remember who's leading you. When Stephen looked up, he saw his good shepherd, and we do too. Today, voice recognition is just simply amazing. A phone can recognize our voice and talks back to us. So does Alexa. It recognizes a voice who is speaking to it and obeys that voice of its master instantly. While it seems almost like magic, it's science and it's technology. But voice recognition did not begin with science or technology. It began with Jesus. As our good shepherd, Jesus recognizes each one of our voices by name, and he leads us exactly where he wants us to go. And as we walk along the path he leads, he also gives us strength. A woman who survived the concentration camps of World War II and wrote about it tells of a talk that she had with her father about courage and strength. She told her father that she feared she wouldn't have the strength to face whatever might come ahead, especially death. Well, her dad asked her, "When we are going to take the train, when do I give you the ticket?" And she said, "You give me the ticket just as we're about to get on the train." Dad said, "That's how it is with God's strength. You may not have it now because you don't need it, but when you need it, God will give it to you." That is our Good Shepherd's promise, that as we walk along the path he is leading, he will give us the strength we need to follow him. And that strength comes in the gospel, the power of the cross, the power of the word, the power of love. And the third strategy to follow when life shakes you up is remember where you are looking. When Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing in heaven. Each stone that hit him put him one step closer to heaven. Nothing shakes us up more than death. Death is a cruel enemy. It robs parents of their children, children of their parents, lifelong companions of their love. Death is a rude enemy. It upsets our lives without apology. Death is a universal enemy, young, old, and everything in between, spring, summer, winter, fall. It never gives up. But there's one other thing that needs to be said about death, and that is that death is a defeated enemy. Stephen said, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Whenever death comes, we're going to fall asleep, and we will wake up in heaven. In the Apostles' Creed, we regularly confess a teaching that the Bible repeats many times: Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. You notice a difference in what Stephen saw? Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. Standing is a sign of respect. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, stood in respect for the first person in the New Testament who died for standing up for him. When life shakes you up, and it will, Remember how you're living. Remember who is leading, but most of all, and best of all, remember where you are looking. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.